This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order. We put so much of that on our shoulders because, like you just said, default parent, like so much of it falls on us. And sometimes dads aren't given that opportunity to come in and have that time and that bonding with their kids because of societal expectations, but that's where we have to advocate.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the delightful Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
Bree, you can't see off camera, but I actually have my foot up on an ice pack.
What happened?
I think it is so, like, I hate saying this because it makes me feel so old. I think I have a bunion. And they're not like, I had a very odd conception of what bunions were, but it's actually the joint becomes misaligned. And that's like the bump. But I have it like on the pinky toe side, which is rare, instead of the big toe side. So yeah. My foot just hurts. So I'm just trying to ice it and be nice to it.
Oh, I was an old lady a long time ago. I had one in high school that was bad enough I had to have surgery. And
oh,
yeah.
Oh, do you know they're actually attributed to, and I took big offense about this because I was reading an article. They're like, bad decisions in footwear. And I'm like, you know what article? Do you know what shoes are considered acceptable in the workplace for women? Let me tell you, like, they're all pointed toes. They're all like misshapen. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. The last place, the last school district I worked for, it was a public charter here in Arizona. And we had to go through a class about the dress code.
Oh.
And it was very, very ridiculous. And they've gotten better. Like, they got better right before I left. But I mean, like, we had to go through a class where they actually like showed us. They had a fashion show to show us acceptable clothing, not acceptable clothing. And they were very mean about the shoes. Like, no tennis shoes allowed for women, but men were allowed to wear them.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And their argument is like, well, we could just wear flats. But they had to be closed-toed flats because you weren't allowed to show toes because that was unprofessional.
Yeah, and the toe is not good.
Exactly.
On flats.
And even though we live in a place where it is easily 115 for over 30 days out of the year, they're like, do not show those toes. No, no, but enjoy the athlete's foot you get from sweating it up in a closed-toed shoe. But the men, again, they're like, fine. They're fine.
They're fine. Were the men allowed to show their toes?
No, they weren't allowed to show their toes, but they were allowed to wear breathable shoes, like tennis shoes and whatnot, not these like closed-toed, closed-in, you know, dress flats. That was the best we could get out of them.
So. I think this not showing the toes thing is so funny. Like, you can make so many jokes about that. It's like, oh, they didn't want anyone profiting from foot picks at their school.
No
sly flip picks under the desk or making that side
hustle.
No
toes, no exposed shoulders. Like, it was a lot.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with our episode today, but it's still very interesting.
It does.
Like, how?
It kind
how
of
would
does.
You say? Show me the segue.
It's expectations for women.
Okay.
Expectations for women. There's expectations for women here. Today, we're talking about this recommendation about spending a specific amount of time with every child you have each day, because this is something that comes up a lot in our balanced community, a source of guilt for moms that they just don't have the time in the day, nor when they try to spend this time with their kids even seem to enjoy it. So we're really going to break this recommendation down today. So look forward to that. And we have a shout out this week from our No Guilt Mom newsletter. If you get the No Guilt Mom Weekly, you see that as soon as you bring another friend on board No Guilt Mom, we give you a shout out on the podcast.
Sorry.
And if you want to, yeah, woo woo. And no, it's good. Calls for a whoop whoop. Here I am trying to be so efficient. And you're like, Joanne, let's just take time for some fun and some celebration, which I need some more of. I definitely need some more of. So let's pause for the
okay, wait, whoop, whoop. Wait, if there's any video of this.
Whoop whoop.
That's my little like party thing.
I wish that had a noise.
I have a noisy one, but I think it'll blow my mic.
We want to shout out Alyssa this week. Alyssa is a longtime No Guilt Mom member. She's part of our balance program. We know her personally because she's been to our retreats. So shout out to Alyssa. And if you want to join the newsletter, please, there's a link in the show notes of this episode. And now let's get on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
So, Bree, there's this recommendation out there from parenting, quote unquote, experts that you should be spending one-on-one time with your child. And I see this a lot of places. Like on Instagram, there was this graphic that said signs that your child doesn't have enough connection. And it listed all of these common traits that children have, like interrupting you in the middle of sentences, asking you for more quality time, and these things that are just general kid stuff that I feel this one-on-one time that's recommended is so guilt-heavy for moms. And I don't even think it's based on scientific fact. And that is what we went into this episode with. And I did the research and found the answers. So what do you think, Bree? You've been in the early childhood field before you came on to No Guilt Mom, and you've seen all of these recommendations too.
So
like, what's your feelings?
Okay. So there are, we do. Okay. So first of all, we're not saying that you don't need to spend quality time with your kids. And we're not saying that spending one-on-one time with your kids is not beneficial. But what we are saying is that trying to add another item to your checklist might be a lot. So I need to preface it with that. So, and I'm smiling for anyone that can watch this video, because all of my years of early intervention, early childhood, newborn follow-up, all that, this is something that we always would share with parents, because it's not common knowledge to every family or to every parent that they should be spending one-on-one time with their kids. It's not common knowledge that having their child sit in front of the television all day long without having any interaction could have a negative impact on them. So we're just talking about when it's another thing on that to-do list. You've been at work all day, like you helped get the kids up in the morning, you got them ready to go to school or daycare, you went off, dropped them off, you went to your job, you come home, you pick them up from school, childcare, you bring them home, you make dinner. Oh, that's a cute drawing. I love it. Oh, yes, I promise we'll play Barbies here in a little bit. Oh, now it's bath time, da-da-da-da-da. And then you're like, oh, crap, my kid's crying because they don't want to go to bed. And they're saying that they miss me so much. It's because I didn't do the 15 minutes of one-on-one. That is what we're saying is BS. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's big BS. And I like that you mentioned that it is not common knowledge, because something that I found in the research is that the most impactful thing on a child's well-being is actually not the amount of time that parents spend with their children. It's actually the mother's income and education level. Yeah, which I thought was really, really interesting. That comes from a study by Milkey, which was referenced in a Washington Post article by Bridget Schulte in 2015, that it was the income and the mother's educational level are most strongly associated with the child's future success. And so I wonder back, because I spent a lot of time in Title I schools as a teacher.
Right.
And it was a very, very low income area where the parents were just, you know, trying to get by. Like they would be working three jobs. Their kids would be alone most of the time. And I know when you did your work in the Early Childhood Center, it served low income families yeah. as well. And so I'm wondering, like, is there a correlation, did you see, with like this knowledge of spending quality time with your kids and also the income level? Because maybe time was a luxury in that sense.
I would say that you're right. So I would bring this back to the ACEs study, which is Adverse mm-hmm. Childhood Experiences Study. It was done in the 90s in California by, oh gosh, I'm forgetting the name of the insurance company that did it. But it's this study where like there's all of these items on this checklist. And if you've been exposed to a certain number of them, it increases your likelihood of having negative outcomes
adverse
in
childhood
life.
Childhood effects. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So negative outcomes in life, like, you know, if your parents, if one or more of your parents were incarcerated, if one or more of your, if an immediate family member had drug or alcohol issues, if you're divorced, single parent household, there was a lot of things on that list. And every single one that gets checked off, you're at a higher rate for or higher exposure for heart disease, depression, things like that.
It's stress. Yeah.
And so I would say that if you're in a household that is worried every week about where we're going to get our next like paycheck, whether or not we're going to have enough to pay the rent, pay the mortgage, pay for groceries. Oh my gosh, you need a new pair of shoes. These have holes in them. Where am I going to find an extra whatever to buy shoes for you this week? It is a lot of stress. And yeah, in those cases, for sure, time is a luxury. Time is a luxury mm-hmm. that a lot of families don't have. But with that being said, in all the programs I did, most of them were based on somebody's risk factor. So in the very beginning, I worked with disability. So if your child had a disability, didn't matter how much money you made, I came out to see you. And then over time, I went into different programs that had to do with risk factors. And I could tell you that because of the areas I served in the Valley, so in the Phoenix area, I was an East Valley provider. So I served Scottsdale, Fountain Hills, Paradise Valley, Chandler, Mesa, and Tempe.
Which if you know those areas from outside of Arizona, you might know the Scottsdale area is very
yes.
affluent.
Yes. So in my case, I had several families that had well-off time, income, education, and they still needed support. But still, I think that this comes back to us talking about if you are stressed out, and because I was that mom. I was that mom because I was a home visitor. So like I also like smile a lot when you talked about doing this episode because I remember sitting on the couch after having taken my kids off to daycare, going to work all day, coming home, trying to find all that time, and then still trying to do the one-on-one with them. And you know my two kids. They were attached at the hip for me. So
oh, yeah.
me getting to spend time with one and the other not being there, and they're also only 15 months apart, they would have none of that. None of that. Like, no, you do not get mom's mm-hmm. exclusive attention. And I just constantly felt like I was failing, like that they were clingy. My daughter was having problems at childcare and that it was all my fault because I wasn't giving enough one-on-one time. And that's what we're fighting.
And I feel like a lot of parents feel that way. And we're going to go get into some of the research right after this. Hey, all. It is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe. And it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP. And it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode, and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Okay, so when digging into this, like, I knew I got so upset every time this one-on-one time was mentioned. So upset, and so upset when other people brought it up, and I could see like the guilt and the stress on mom's faces when they talked about this, but I didn't have anything to back it up. I just had this own feeling in my mind being like, that's not right. That's not right. And so digging into the research, I did find the source of this recommendation, but not completely. And let me explain. So it came from a research paper from the American Pediatrics Association. It's called The Power of Play with Kids: A Pediatric Role in Enhancing Development in Young Children. And it said, the mutual joy and shared communication and attunement, harmonious serve and return interactions, think of like a tennis game here where you're like kids and parents are communicating with each other, that parents and children can experience during play regulate the body's stress response. And this was the paper that most pediatricians refer to be like, hey, spending time together is good.
It is.
It's good, which I think both of like we can agree on. It is real, real good. And there was also a Chinese study that came out that said the effect of time parents spend with children has an effect on the children's well-being. So overall, we know spending time with kids is great. But in no place in the literature did it say anything about one-on-one time. I could not find it. So like that guilt, Brie, that you were feeling about not being able to spend the one-on-one time with each child, it was not research-based at all, those recommendations coming out, which I'm sure you heard. Like, do you remember where you might have first heard it? Like, was it a pediatrician's office or?
No. Like, my brain don't work that way. You know that. Like, all I can tell you is that I can pull it out of my toolbox of, I know that I was trained on it.
It's fully ingrained in your psyche.
But where I was trained on it, that I don't know. It was definitely something that I knew before I had kids. So it definitely was something I was formally trained on.
Could it be a positive discipline
thing? No, because that came after. My road, it's such a long, long and long yellow brick road of Brie's brain. It would be very scary. You know, I would love to one day see like a dramatization of my brain and how it works and the things that are in there. Yeah. Like, it would be very interesting. But yeah, no, I know that it was something that I was actually formally trained on, but I couldn't tell you where it came from. And again, even if I was formally trained, that doesn't mean that it wasn't somebody said to me, you know, it's important that you share this with families. And maybe it was somebody that they got from their predecessor who gave it to them from their predecessor. Like, I'm not sure. I do know that my husband teaches a class for parenting dads. It's out of the University of Chicago, I believe. And they do cite a study, but it doesn't say how much time. It just says it's important to spend time with your kids. Yeah. Like you just read on the paper from the American Academy of Pediatrics. So I think it's maybe it's kind of like a game of telephone where, you know,
somebody hears it and then changes it a little and then it's like the rule.
Because maybe, because sometimes, and you know this with my brain too, I'm the kind of person where you need to give me specifics. Like sometimes you'll be like, hey, Brie, why don't you do this? And I'll be like, how many words? How long does it need to be? And when does it have to go out? And you're all like, just whatever. And I'm like, nope, I need criteria. So maybe that's where it started. Maybe somebody was like, I don't get it. I hung out with my kid
your need for criteria made you like, they're like, no, I need it. And they're like, 20 minutes, Bree, 20 minutes.
Yeah, right. Fine. Get 20 minutes. And they throw the clipboard and run out of the room. Like, who knows? But I do. I mean, and again, like, we both can agree that, like, yeah, like that back and forth, like when I'm having a, even with my teens, mm-hmm. and I know you feel the same way too. Like when we're having a good time and we're back and forth chatting, I'm calm. I'm relaxed. I can see it in their faces that they're relaxed and mm-hmm. they're feeling better.
Yeah, yeah. Quality time is great. There's one other thing I found when I did the research in it, because I was interested that one-on-one time wasn't mentioned in this initial stuff. But what I did found was an article from Psychology Today by a Dr. Kyle D. Pruitt, who is a clinical professor of child psychiatry at the Yale School of Medicine. And he emphasized the importance of making time for each child individually. It was in this article. And he says, using a homogenized approach that fits all our kids works about as well as the one-size-fits-all jumpers fit our bodies. The small intimacies that are unique to the way you parent a particular child at a particular time of life are more likely to appear during one-on-one time. And I mean, he's not wrong, but also this isn't saying that you definitely need to do it all the time and that this is the only way. The other thing I found on one-on-one time is from fathering.com, and it recommends that one-on-one time lets kids know they are very important because you are taking that time out of your busy day just to spend it singularly with them. And I think here is where the guilt really starts to come in, especially in women with multiple kids who cannot have that one-on-one time necessarily with every child every day. Well, I don't think it's fair. Yeah.
Especially when, like, and I think another example is, this kind of brings back to something that people have heard us talk about over and over, that it's not all mom's responsibility.
No.
Like, because all of these articles are talking about parents in general. And even though you found that article from fathering.com, it still says that one-on-one time lets kids know that they are important. It doesn't always have to be mom. It doesn't have to be.
Like, yeah, fathering.com is talking to dads right there. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Kyle Pruitt, a man making a recommendation. But I think that it gets filtered to moms because for some reason we do get, I don't want to say saddled with the childcare, but it is kind of that way. We become the primary caretaker. We become the default parent. And mm-hmm. a lot of that comes to one thing that happens right at the beginning of a child's life. And we're going to talk about that right after this break.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. you get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Right now, I'm reading this book called Wellness by Nathan Hill, and it's fiction, but it talks about, like, it's following this couple who meet in college and have this romantic life. And right now I'm in their child rearing era where things are not so much romance anymore, but they're about taking care of their kid. And the woman, Elizabeth, she is at home with her toddler, Toby, and she got a PhD in child psychology. And so it's her going through all of her worries and stuff and then citing the articles that the worries came from. It's so amusing to me because I feel like this is what we do here at No Guilt Mom. We can go back to the paper and, like, kids need this because of this. Kids need this because of this.
Yep.
Because of this. And one thing in particular is she talked about this thing called the sacred hour, which was mentioned in this research paper. And honestly, I don't know if these papers are real. They might be real, but it is a work of fiction, I need to say, but it illustrates so perfectly. And the sacred hour is this time right after the child is born where it's put on mom's chest to, like, help regulate their breathing and, you know, the skin to skin contact.
Yeah. But
this particular article said the first hour after birth was so important. And in her particular labor situation, she was in labor, baby's heartbeat dropped, her blood pressure rose, called for an emergency C-section, where then, like, they drugged her up, they cut her open, and then she fell immediately asleep because she was exhausted. And so she was dealing with all of her toddler's temper tantrums. And she's like, this is my fault because I fell asleep and I wasn't there for the sacred hour of that skin-to-skin contact. And it's such, like, a mom guilt moment. And I felt so much for this character because we do it all the time. And another thing about us being the default parent and the caretaker, like, we think, oh, this is our fault. We've taken on too much. We haven't let dad become a role in our child's life. Well, actually, who was there for the child for, like, at least 6 weeks because they had maternity leave, and who couldn't be there for the child because there was no paternity leave allowed by society?
Right. It's definitely a back and forth. All right. I am going to tell you the sacred hour is a thing.
Yeah. Okay.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
And it, again, it's one of those well-intended recommendations for individuals that have no clue that had never heard of it, wouldn't even occur to them that it would be important to have skin-to-skin contact. But yeah, I would totally be – I was that person. You know my birth story with my first kid? Yeah. Like, my first kid, I had placenta previa, and I was in and out of the hospital from, like, 21 weeks on, and I went into labor at full-on labor at, like, 27 weeks. And I – in the middle of the night, and I remember them trying to stop me. So I was drugged up to, like – I barely remember the situation, but I do remember fighting with the nurse, refusing to sign the form to put me in a helicopter to send me to a hospital that could care for me and my soon to be born very preemie baby, because I could cite at least 15 families I had worked with where the mom went into labor early, was life flighted somewhere, and that child had a major disability. So I was positive that was going to happen. I was doped up quite a bit. At one point, I do remember my ex-husband coming over to me and being like, hey, if you don't get this shit together, they're going to, like, take away, they're going to make me sign that you're mentally incompetent.
Oh, gosh.
So, and yeah, I just remember going, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, I did the same thing too when my kids were little. Like, when they were little, I was mentally going through that checklist. How much tummy time have we had? Did we roll over correctly? Mm. Like, oh, you know, what developmental milestones are we hitting? Oh, his articulation doesn't sound right. Maybe there's a speech delay coming, you know. And again, I have a history of speech delay in my family. So,
yeah.
But Right. So, like, so that sacred hour, like, I didn't get that sacred hour. My baby was whisked away when I finally had him at 35 weeks. So hats off to all the prenatal care there. Like, but he was whisked away because I wasn't well. I was reacting badly to the anesthesia for the C-section, and he wasn't breathing. Mm-hmm. Well, he was breathing, but not well. So But those things do make you come back and be like, oh my God, if I had just done that differently.
Yeah.
And we put so much of that on our shoulders because it like you just said, default parent, like so much of it falls on us. And sometimes dads aren't given that opportunity to come in and have that time and that bonding with their kids because of societal expectations. But that's where we have to advocate.
Yeah. Right? And like knowing it beforehand, because when I was reading the book, I'm like, wait a minute, like this skin to skin contact, it could be done by any human. It doesn't need to be done by the mom. And like in this scenario in the book, like they were in a relationship and I was like, where was dad? Dad could have come in and do the kangaroo care during that sacred hour and it would have been fine. So it's not like the mom's primary job. It's so much of the literature out there is saying mother, it's the mother, it's the mother, it's the mother. Oh, come on.
Or it just says it needs to happen.
Yeah.
And because of the way our society is set up, we all go, oh, well, that's mom's job. Yeah, the kids like mom. So it's mom's job to play with them individually. That's what my wife does.
Something interesting that I just learned is because a common pushback is that, you know, women are biologically attuned because they just had the baby and all these hormones or whatever. I learned that actually fathers, when their baby's born, their testosterone drops so that they can become better caretakers. Yeah.
I did not know that.
No, I just found it out too. It was in this book, On Our Best Behavior by Elise Lunin, who I'm reading right now. And I'm like, that is so interesting. So actually dads biologically are ready to take care of the kids as well. They just need the time and the space to do that in our society.
Which is hard. So yeah. Yeah, it's funny. The only thing I knew about in terms of like hormones and whatnot is that, you know, women are genetically engineered to be irritated, to be discomforted when our children cry, especially during that first year. Like we are genetically wired to have that bug us so that we didn't abandon our babies back in the cave days.
Yeah. And because we were the food store.
Stupid trait. That stupid trait is still there. And that is why nails on chalkboard when our kids cry and our husbands can sleep right through it. And we're like, what? I didn't hear anything. What?
They need to be hit. They need to be hit hard. Take that stress and irritability and use it on your husband who's right there asleep beside you.
Just let the baby cry. I don't know why you let it bother you so much.
Oh my gosh. No, no. So all of these recommendations, what we're saying is that there are a lot of like unmet needs by the parents during these situations. And this Washington Post article that I referred to earlier from 2015, it says that the study showed that quality time actually trumped quantity. It says, in fact, it appears the sheer amount of time parents spend with their kids between the ages of 3 and 11 has virtually no relationship to how the children turn out and a minimal effect on adolescents. And this comes from the Journal of Marriage and Family. It was a study published there. And it also includes children's academic achievement, behavior, and emotional well-being. No correlation between quantity spent and quality. One of the study's authors said, I could literally show you 20 charts and 19 of them would show no relationship between the amount of parents' time and children's outcomes. And that was from Melissa Milkey, who's a sociologist at the University of Toronto. But one study found one key instance when parent time can be particularly harmful to children. And this is like the surprising thing. That's when parents, mothers in particular, there's that mothers, are stressed, sleep deprived, guilty, and anxious. I mean, that is a bomb drop right there. Because how many of us are guilty and anxious? Hi, me.
Oh, yeah. Right? Sleep deprived? Every parent, especially if you're in the situation where only mom can stay home with the kid during that maternity leave. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, that's hard.
Yeah, it's so hard. And so this recommendation about spending 20 minutes of one-on-one time with each child, if it's making you guilty and anxious, that's not good for the kid. It's not good for the kid. Like, it's better to drop that expectation.
And in most cases, I take that back. Not even most cases. And in a lot of cases, not even most, there is more than one caregiver. So don't take it all on your shoulders. It's not all your responsibility. I don't care that you're a stay-at-home parent. I don't care that you're the one that the kids prefer to go to. I don't care that the other parent works really hard and is stressed out from their job. We all have stressors. Mm-hmm. We all do.
We all do.
It doesn't all have to be on one parent.
Yeah.
It is a shared load. It took two people to make that baby. Two people.
Yeah, no.
Two people can share in the child rearing.
It's crazy because, like, I have these discussions with my husband all the time. Like, his job is nutso. I mean, just the other night, he came home at 8 p.m. and he came into the kitchen and I was like, oh, I get, like, a little free time. And I'm like, I'm just going to, like, go get changed really quick. And he looks at me and he's like, I have 15 minutes till I have to be on a call. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And he's like, no. I don't. I'm not. And he felt bad about it because it was a project that had to be done. And then he was on a call from 8:30 to 10:30 that night when I went to bed. So that was like my only time to spend with him is in those 15 minutes. So the thing is that a lot of times we see those and we're like, oh, we'll just take on more and more and more. And because of this work we do with No Guilt Mom and all this stuff, I am a big pushback. I push back a lot on the corporate culture. I push back a lot on the expectations of like a job like that and how it's just ruining family life. And, you know, he works for the same company my father-in-law did. My father-in-law and mother-in-law got divorced. So my mother-in-law is also in my ear being like, that company ruins families.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't help.
No, I have a lot of pushback on it. And it's honestly the only way we can make change is pushing back on these expectations for men and for women. Because I know, like, it's easy to say, like, don't take it on yourself. But there's also, like, societal things that are happening that need to be pushed back on to make change, like, really possible. And I think a lot of us women are being gaslit into thinking it's just us.
Oh, that is 100% true. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of it, too, like, our lives are ebb and flows. Like, we really have to like, take a moment sometimes and look at it and be like, listen, every stage of parenting is hard. Like, the part where you're growing the human being. And you're throwing up all the time and you're exhausted. And if you're like Brie, you literally fall asleep at the dinner table. That's a hard time. Newborns, you don't get any sleep because they need you constantly. Like preschoolers, school age, teenagers, ones who just left the nest, ones who are coming back into the nest. Once they are off having their own families, every single stage of life is hard. And there are ebbs and there are flows. And there are times when things are going to be smooth. And you're going to be able to adjust it. Like we had an episode where we talked about it. And I remember, who was it? Was it Eve Rosky? Someone was talking about, no, it wasn't. It was Brene Brown about how like, listen, I'm coming in at a 20 today. Like mm-hmm. I really could use you to help pick up the other 80% because I'm strained. I'm just at my wit's end. Mm-hmm. And if you both come in and like, listen, I'm at a 20. And then your partner looks at you and goes, dude, I'm at a 20 as well. Okay, well, then we got to figure out where that other 60 is coming from. It's all about, like you said, it's because I think sometimes when we say pushing back, people are like, oh, no, that's rude. That's disrespectful. I can't do that. And we're not talking about that. In some cases, you might need to like shove. But most of the time, it's a conversation. It's like mm-hmm. what you just said. It's like about talking about it.
Accepting it as like, this is how it is. And I just have to deal with it. It's I'm not happy with this. We need to find out something to change.
Right. Right. And chances are your parenting partner wants you to be happy.
Yeah.
They don't like it when you're miserable.
No.
So we're here to tell you it's important to spend time with your kids. Yes. But you're not going to break them if they don't get 15 minutes a day individualized attention from you every day.
Yeah. We hope we have helped dispel that myth and let you in on a bit of a nuance to it. So until next time, remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by. Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear?
Gone.
Poof.
Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of there, life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking it.